Somebody's hurt, somebody's aching, somebody's trying to find their way. Heavy heart can break your will. A troubled soul leaves time standing still. If you're hurting, please don't hide. Lift up your head on your side. When every mountain seems too high, when every river looks too wide,
lost at sea,
that's when my dreams.
Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that He rescues us? No matter what kind of trouble we're in, He can come in a moment's time. Just to cry out to His name, He'll come and meet with us. Praise the Lord. I want to ask you to be in prayer for Brother Darren Smith and Brother Sandy Moreno. They're heading to El Salvador to get the facility ready for you to come. And we're going to be hitting that neighborhood that we're in, going door to door, praying for the needs of these El Salvadorians. You're gonna have a time. Those of you that are going, we have 40 from this church going. That's an amazing big group to take in the mission field for 5 or 6 days, but we're going to have a great time. I want you to be in prayer for all of us. Those of you that are not going, please be in prayer for our church as we endeavor to reach this community. And on the mission field, it actually helps me, you, helps you as much as it helps those people. That's better. Whatever y'all did, do it again. Amen. Praise the Lord. It helps you because you're fulfilling the Great Commission. And whenever you fulfill that Great Commission, you're touching the heart of God. So I'm going to ask you to be in prayer. All those children from age 5 to 11, you're dismissed to Children's Church. All the children, age 5 to 11. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. I'm going to ask you to please be as still and as focused this morning as you can. I believe I have a word from the Lord for this congregation for today. I believe the Lord has spoke to me today to deliver a message for you in the sanctuary and those watching by Facebook. I say today, somebody may watch this service tomorrow, the next day, it'll be there today. God speaks to us. He knows where we're at. He knows what we have need of. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 8. For we would not, brethren, have you to be ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we even despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver us, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Yea, also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for another opportunity to gather in this sanctuary. Lord, we stand in awe of Your presence. We know that You're here. We know that You're going to talk to us. Lord, we've already felt the Spirit of the living God. I'm asking You, Lord, that You would minister to each and every heart. You know where we are. You know every detail of our lives. Lord, You're a God of close details. I'm asking You, Lord, that You'd minister to each and every person here, those watching by Facebook. I'm asking You, Lord, that You would change us. Let that conforming work of Christ ever work in our hearts and lives. We ask You in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Verse number 8 again. For we would not, brethren, have you to be ignorant of the trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we even despaired of life. Well, that's a bad place to begin. But they pressed on. I'm going to preach to you this morning on eliminating the quit option. We must never forget, as born again believers of God, if you're a child of God, birthed into the kingdom, you and I are in a warfare. I'm telling you, it's not a battle of flesh and blood, Paul says, but it's a spiritual warfare, and we're constantly fighting that warfare. You have to understand, and you must keep on the forefront of your mind, that the devil has a target on your life, has a target on your family. He wants to discourage you. He wants you to become despondent. He wants to pull you away from the things of God. He's going to battle against you in every way possible, and we must be on constant alert, be sober, sober, Paul Peter said, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't afford to lay down. We can't afford to put our weapons down. We are in a warfare. And Paul said, we must fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. It's a warfare. We must understand that. It's a spiritual warfare. And warfare, in the battle, it gets very difficult. In any battle, you can ask any veteran here that's fought in Vietnam or the Gulf War or World War II, that the battle gets very treacherous. It gets very wearisome. You go through a lot when it comes to warfare. There are times when you're on the mountaintop, when you have experienced great victories in warfare. But there are other times whenever you've been defeated in areas and you have suffered defeat in the battle. There are just simply a lot of highs in the battle, and there are a lot of lows in the battle. Every soldier goes through this. But what do we do to get through this? How do we get through where we can keep on going? We've got to learn how to persevere. So listen, some of you've got to get your perseverance a little bit stronger in the kingdom of God. That means that you just keep on ticking. You keep on moving. You keep on pressing no matter what comes your way. If you want a definition of perseverance, it's this. To persevere means to persist in a state of enterprise or undertaking in spite of counter influences, opposition, or discouragement. It means you keep on keeping on no matter what comes your way. Can I get a witness in this house this morning? That means you just keep on going. If you get knocked down, you get back up again. If you lose the battle, you pick up your weapon and you fight some more. You learn through the defeats of this life, and you learn through the victories of life. But one thing you've got to learn, that you've got to get rid of the give up, quitting kind of a spirit. You got to get your mind made up. I'm going to get to heaven someday if I walk the right way. If you will keep on keeping on, you're going to make it. And some of you this morning, I just believe this in prayer, that you have feel so weary in your body and your mind. You have been facing battles. You have been working hard. You're physically tired. You're mentally tired. You've been hit at every angle in your physical body. Maybe in your spiritual life, your family, your spouse. Listen to me. I know the battle gets difficult. I know it becomes wearisome at times, but you've just got to persevere. You've got to press through that thing. You say, well, I just don't know how much more that I can take. When you don't think you can take any more, His grace will be sufficient for you. I've got a word for somebody in this house, those watching by Facebook. God, the Holy Ghost, is going to empower you this morning to persevere, to get rid of, to eliminate the quit option. We don't have a plan B. It's plan A, and I am going to overcome by the help and the grace of Almighty God. Give me a little bit more house, my brother. When we persevere, we refuse to quit. Well, Brother Matt, you don't understand what I'm going through. No, I don't understand. I can tell you He understands. And I can tell you again, He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My ability, that just simply means God's ability. When it meets my free will, it helps me to do what I cannot do within myself. And somebody in this house needs to understand that. You say, well, I don't want to quit. I don't want to quit. That's my last option. That's your problem right there. You've made it an option. You say, well, I don't want to quit. I'm going to do everything I can to make this thing work, whatever that thing is. Brother Matt, are you talking about every situation of life? Absolutely not. There are certain things you need to walk away from, certain things you need to get out of. I'm talking about the things that the Word of God declares that we are to stand and fight for. And you need to get the quit option out of your mentality. There is no plan B. There's only a plan A. That means you press through. You fight in the battle. If you give up on the battlefield, you die and your comrades die with you. Come on, church. I'm telling you today, somebody needs to hear this, because your family's at stake. Your marriage is at stake. You're walking in a place where you're tired and weary, and you say, I don't know if I can take any more. Well, I can tell you, you can. You can take a little bit more. That's our problem. We need to eliminate the quit option. Some of us need to just reprogram our brain. Because in difficult places, so many people have learned to just get out of a difficult place, a relationship. I'm not saying that you're not to get rid of a bad boyfriend or a bad girlfriend. Amen. I believe that if it's not the right will of God, you'll know and you need to escape that thing. Or maybe it's a real bad spiritual situation at your job or whatever. I'm not saying it's in every place. But so many people, whenever they're going through a trial, they're going through a hard time, they say, well, I'll just leave. I'll just go to another job, or I'll just get another spouse, or I'll just get another friend, or I'll just switch churches. That's the problem. Every time you're going through a difficult place, you say, okay, well, I'll just escape that thing. So every time you go through the trial, you just want to get out of the trial. Every time the Lord puts you in the refiner's fire and he wants to refine you, you jump out of the fire. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, he said that fire will refine you as pure gold. What does the fire do? It pulls out all of the impurities. You have to put fire to gold to get it in its purest form. Ladies and gentlemen, don't remove yourself out of the fire, which is to try you. God's trying to do something in your life. And if you could only see what he has planned for, you'd stay in the refiner's fire. Eliminate the quit option. Reprogram your brain to stay in the midst of the battle and fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life. Everyone knows and has heard about the military branch, the Navy, and then they have a very special elite force called the Navy SEALs. It's a very, very elite special force group. We know that the Navy SEALs actually killed Osama bin Laden. I'm telling you, I still remember when I heard it on the news, how they broke through that his hidden place and killed this man that had killed many Americans. One of the leading terrorists, worst terrorists that's ever lived on this planet. But to become a SEAL, this special elite fighting group, you have to go through several stages. They say that you have to be borderline nuts to be a Navy SEAL. You have to go through three different stages, and many are eliminated in the first stage of going through the process of becoming a Navy SEAL. After the second round, the second stage, only one third is left trying to go through the program to be an elite fighting force. Two thirds do not make it through stage one and two. But when you get to stage three, they call that stage this certain week called Hell Week. It is a terrible week. It is designed to weed out all who are not strong. Let me tell you something. In this kingdom, in the kingdom of the Lord, many of you may not be physically strong in your body, but you can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The Bible tells us to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. This stage is the time to weed out those who are not strong. Hell Week is a defining week for many of these men. For 5.5 days, they endure a continuous cycle of the hardest physical and mental exercises anywhere in the world. Candidates are allowed at most only 4 hours of sleep during the entire week. During that time, can you take off my monitor, brother? They're only allowed those short amounts of time. Hell Week is designed to weed out those who are not the best of the best. In fact, two-thirds of the candidates do not make it. During Hell Week, there's a bell designed that's set up. This bell is set up that at any time you want to get out of that thing, you just go over and ring the bell. Nobody will ask you any questions. Nobody will criticize you. You can take a hot shower. You can go in and eat a meal, and you can take a bus home, and you can get out of that thing at any time that you want to get out of it. There's one man that testified. He said there were those in that third stage that were a whole lot stronger than I was. They were physically, the attributes were amazing attributes, physical specimens, but they could not handle the pressure. I'm telling you, what that program is designed to do that third week is to break you down mentally. You can be strong physically. You can have all the attributes. But if they can break you down, they're trying to break you down before you get out in that warfare and the enemy break you down. Listen, it's the same way when it comes to our spiritual life. The devil wants to break you down. You may have overcome all the sins of the flesh, but you come in and you're discouraged. You're despondent. Everything, it seems, as is coming against you and your family. And anytime you want, you can ring the bell, so to speak. No one's keeping you in this kingdom. Amen? No one's keeping you in the kingdom of God. We are free moral agents. We can get out at any time we want. As a matter of fact, at any time you want, you can quit on your family. At any time you want, you can quit on your marriage. No one's holding you hostage. We were in Honduras, and I'm telling you, Honduras food is good, and they'll eat a little bit too much, these young people, and they're like, man, I ate too much food. I say, ain't nobody held a gun to your head and made you eat all that food. You're a free moral agent. Listen, at any time you can quit on your calling. At any time you can quit on God. Listen to me. You got to make up your mind. I am not going to quit. There is no plan B. I'm going to press through this thing. But Brother Matt, I'm tired. I'm weary. I don't know if I can go any further. Oh, yes, you can. When you've done all that you can do to stand, the Bible says, just stand. Listen to me. If you'll just wait on the Lord, He's going to come and He will help you in your time of need. Eliminate the quit option. Listen, your family's going through it. You're going through it, but you've got to make up your mind. Listen, that's 95% of it, ladies and gentlemen. Getting a made-up mind. I am not going back. I'm not giving in. I'm not throwing in the towel. There is no plan B. I am not quitting. Listen, the devil says to you, he whispers, go ahead and ring that bell. You're tired, you're weary, they've hurt you, the church hasn't been what they're supposed to be. Well, listen, no church is going to be what it's supposed to be because it's made up of people like you and I, and we mess up all the time, praise the Lord, for His grace and His mercy, but we are not perfect, neither are you. But what you got to do is get your eyes off of everything and everybody and get your eyes on the King of glory. Amen. We got to get our eyes on Him again, and we've got to eliminate the quit option. What happens if I quit? Well, listen, not only could you lose out, will you lose out with God, but many others will lose out with God. Too many lives depend on what you do. I'll never forget the story B.H. Clendenin told while he was in warfare in World War II. He was, his friend was the machine gunner. And he was feeding the ammunition to that M60 machine gun. And a bullet hits his friend in the head. Man, can you imagine that? He said, my friend was dying before my very eyes, bleeding and dying, my best friend. He said, I wanted to cry. I wanted to give up. I wanted to throw in the towel. He said, but if I knew that if I didn't get up and pick up that gun and keep on fighting, every man in that platoon would have died. It's the same way in the kingdom of God. You've got to make up your mind. You're going to fight the good fight of faith. You're going to lay hold on eternal life. It doesn't matter if anybody else does or not, you're going to press through all the difficulties and the trials. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul, God says, shall have no pleasure in him. We are not those that draw back, ladies and gentlemen. He didn't make the armor for the back. He made it all for the front. What are you saying, preacher? We're never to retreat in battle. We're to run through the troop, David said, and leap over the wall. The armor's made for the front. We, as the children of God, are to get knocked down, get back up, and move forward in the things of God. It's time for you to dry your tears. Tears are essential in They come to all of us, but it's time to dry your tears. Get up and fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. We want to challenge ourselves to do this. We have to challenge ourselves to eliminate the quit option. We need to understand that we are in the battle of our lives, a battle for our families, a battle for our marriages. The enemy goes to throw everything he can at us to discourage us. Discouragement's a powerful tool. And some of you have been faced with discouragement all this week. It could be discouragement and a variety of issues. I'm telling you, it's real, and it's a tool of the enemy. It's one of the greatest tools the enemy has. If he can pry that heart open through discouragement, listen, we all get discouraged, but you got to get over that thing. If you allow yourself to stay there, he'll pry that heart open, and with discouragement, he can bring in any other sin. When we get discouraged, we just get so despondent, we get our eyes off of him, and we get them on our situation. It's time that the people of God get our eyes back on God Almighty, because he still has everything in his control. The battle is not what we see in the natural. The battle is not about the trouble in our family. It's not about the financial problem. It's not about the sickness. The battle is not about the disagreements in your marriage, contrary to popular belief. The enemy wants your mind. Did you hear me? I said the enemy wants that mind. If he can get that mind under control through all the pressures of life, he's got you where he wants you. The enemy wants that mind. He wants to break you down mentally. He wants you to give up, to quit, to say, I can't take it anymore. Listen, the philosophy of the Navy SEALs is this: I will never quit. My brother, you know, you've heard the story many times. My brother, he was bad, and I was too. My brother was bad. He used to pick on me all the time, but I used to fight him when he picked on me. Praise the Lord. He'd get me down and put his knees right in my wrist, and he'd slap me in the face when we were little kids. That's what brothers do. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Amen. He'd say, "You give up?" I'd look at him with tears coming down my eyes, and I'd say, I ain't never giving up. I'm talking, he would get me down 10 more times, and he'd do all kind of things to me, 2 years older than me, you know. And then I'd wait till he turned his back, and I'd get an equalizer and take care of business. But I can tell you, I never gave up. And listen, it's just part of my DNA. It's time that we get it not just in the natural, but we get it in the spiritual. I'm not going to give up, devil. Listen, I say it again. Job said, Job, you know the story. Job was pressed down in every area. His children died. He lost all of his wealth. Think about it. His wife looked at him. He had boils all over him. And she says, Job, God's basically forsaken you. Why don't you just curse God and die? He said, you speak like a foolish woman. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Oh, listen, the devil done lost the battle whenever you have that kind of attitude, because he knows there's nothing that he can bring your way to get you to turn your back on God. You got to eliminate the quit option. Oh, listen, again, the philosophy of the Navy SEALs, I will never quit. My nation expects me. This is their motto. My nation expects me to be physically harder and mentally stronger than my enemies. If I get knocked down, I will get back up every time. I will draw on every remaining ounce of strength to protect my teammates. I am never out of the fight. Oh, listen to me. It doesn't matter where you are, how weak you are, how many times you've been knocked down. You're never out of the fight. The enemy makes you, he wants you to think that you are, but you're always, listen, if God be your partner, ladies and gentlemen, you can make your plans big. That's what Ravenhill said. That means that if God is with you, who can be against you? Because when you make up your mind that you're not going to quit, the battle is mostly won right there. It comes back to a made up mind. You make up your mind, you are not going to quit the battle. Listen, I have had prayers answered. I have had prayers unanswered. I've had miracles happen, and I have had huge disappointments. What about you? I've spent time on the high mountains, and I've had revelations from the Lord. And I've also spent time in the dark valleys where it seemed as if the Lord has forsaken me. Have you ever been there? You've been on the mountaintop, and man, you felt like you could go bear hunting with a switch. You ever felt that way? But then there's other times it just seems like it's soon after the great battle, the victory, that you're in a very low place. And then the enemy whispers, go ring that bell. Go ahead and give up. Oh, we feel sorry for ourselves. And then everything on top of the pain we're experiencing, we get hurt by our brothers and sisters in the church. And the enemy whispers, they don't love you. They don't care about you. Go ring that bell. Let me tell you something. The devil is a liar. You need to say it out loud. Devil, you're a liar and the father of all lies. They wouldn't go to that church anyway just to hate me, praise the Lord. We need to make up our mind that we're going to eliminate the quit option. What I've learned through all of this is by God's grace and an act of the free will of man, I'm never going to ring that bell, but I'm going to keep on keeping on. Listen, by the help and the grace of God and by my free choice, I'm never going to walk away from God. I'm never going to quit my church. I'm never going to leave my wife. I'm never going to give up on my kids by the grace of God. I'm never going to let my dream die by the grace of God. I'm never going to quit preaching. If I lose my teeth, I'll gum him to death. I borrowed that from an older preacher. You have to determine the same thing. Lay hold on the truth deep down in your spirit that you are never going to quit. Oh, my pastor, when he was alive, he said that his cousin that had been away from God for so many years, she came back to the church and she looked around. Everything was different. The attendance was low. It wasn't as vibrant and as special as it once was. And he says, she looks at him and she says, what happened to the church? You know what he said to her? He pointed his finger right in her face. He said, people just like you happened to the church. You're a sellout. You got tired in the battle and you quit. And this is what the church has become. Listen, if you don't press through, if you don't keep fighting, that's what we're going to have. It's going to take somebody with a tenacity. And you don't know the pain that I go through because I don't tell you. I tell the Lord, but I made up my mind a long time ago. I'm not giving up. I'm going to eliminate the quit option. You have to determine the same thing. Lay hold on the deep truth. Deep down in your spirit, you're never going to quit. In our text in 2 Corinthians 1 and 8, but we would not, brethren, have you to be ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we even despaired even of life. They were pressed out of measure. What does that mean? To be pressed out of measure means the opposition was stronger than any resistance. Any resistance they could find within themselves to fight against the opposition. They didn't know how to handle it, which eventually brought them to a place where dying looked better than living. Paul was in a place where that with that Corinthian church where the opposition came against them so heavy that dying looked better than living. Now, we don't believe in suicide. We believe you take your life, you destroy the temple of the Holy Ghost, God will destroy you. That ain't a new theology, ladies and gentlemen. That's an old theology in the Word of God. But I can tell you, you can go through something so difficult in your life that you just wish that God would take you out of here. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if that's ever happened to you, but there are a lot of folks that say, Lord, can you just take me home to heaven? Can you get me out of here? Listen, Elijah did. Elijah felt that way. He killed all those prophets of Baal. And then Jezebel sends a message to him and says, you tell Elijah, the prophet, I'm going to kill him. And all of a sudden, he gets despondent. You can have a victory, and then you can be down in the valley. He was so down at Jezebel's threat that he prayed that God would just take him out of here. Listen to me. I'm not saying that none of us are susceptible to that because any of us can go through that. But you've got to transition your thinking a little bit. You've got to rewire that brain and get the plan B out and say, I'm going on with Jesus all the way. All listen, friends, life is full of highs and lows, but you must learn perseverance. I was talking to a young person very short while ago, and let me tell you what I told them. They hadn't been serving God for a long time, and I asked this young person, I said, what if Matt Gregory turned on you tomorrow? What if everybody in that church house turned on you and wanted nothing to do with you? How would you handle it? Would you give up on God? Or would you look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith? Ask yourself the question, what if everybody in this church and this pastor turned on you? We're not going to do that to you. But what if we did? Is that whatever it takes to get you out of the kingdom, I guarantee you the devil knows what it is. I said, brother, I asked this young man, what if everybody in all these things, and I begin to name these hard trials that could possibly come his way. I said, listen, how much would it take to get you to give up on God? Listen, whatever it is, if you can ask yourself that question and you can answer that question, then you're not focused like you should be focused, and you got a plan B that needs to be eliminated out of your thinking. You got to eliminate the quit option. Oh, listen, it doesn't matter what comes my way with the help and the grace of God, if everybody turns one way, I pray, God, you will help me to keep on keeping on, to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Oh, listen, what will it take to get you to leave God? What would it take to get you to quit, to throw in the towel, to ring the bell? Whatever it is, the enemy knows. How do you survive that kind of a treacherous week that the seals went through? What do you do when the enemy throws your weakness in your face? Because we all have weaknesses, don't we? What do we do when the enemy constantly reminds us of our weaknesses and our failures? What do we do? What do we do? We do what Peter did. Peter says this in chapter 4, verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Why is this happening to me? I'm a tithe payer. It's not supposed to be happening to tithe payers. He said, and he did say in Malachi, he would rebuke the devourer who would come against your wealth and your land. He would rebuke that. Why am I going through this? Listen, whoever tells you you're not going to go through trouble when you're living for God is a liar. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have trials. You're going to go through financial difficulties, even though you got a prayer life, even though you stay in the Word of God, even though you give financially to the kingdom of God. But you got to make up your mind. God knows what I'm going through, and I know that He's allowing me to be put in this fire. I will eliminate the quit option. Friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through, as though something strange has happened to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ. Did you hear me? I said it makes you partners with Christ. I'll prove it to you. In verse 13, we read in verse 12, the fiery trial that's to try you. But in verse 13, but rejoice in so much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. We're partakers. We're experiencing what He experienced. And that's a good thing. We are heirs, and we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Don't think that we're better than Jesus. If Jesus had to suffer and go through all the trials of this life, we certainly aren't any better. And we're going to go through it. We're going to have our own Gethsemane's. We're going to have to go through. Jesus went through Gethsemane. He had His own disciples fall asleep on Him right before He went to the cross. But He still loved. He still made up His mind. I'm going to go all the way to that cross. Yes, He did pray, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. But He eliminated the quit option. Jesus endured Hell Week on the cross. He endured the accusations. He endured the torture. He endured the beatings. He endured the spit as they spit upon Him and they mocked Him. He endured the stretched out two pieces of wood. He endured the nails driven into His hands and His feet. And Jesus could have rang that bell, but He didn't. If he would have, you and I would have no chance of eternal life. He could have called thousands of angels to take him off that cross, but he didn't. He endured the shame. He endured the beatings. He, the Son of God that was there when man was made. Remember in Genesis, he said, let us, plural, make man in our image. That's why I believe there's a true Father, a Son, and the Holy Ghost. Define the Trinity. I don't understand it. They're all three in one. I don't understand all the Godhead, but I know he said, let us, plural, make man in our image. He was there when God made man. He was there when God breathed the breath of life into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. He was there. He's always been, ladies and gentlemen. He came to die for man's sin, but man rejected him, and yet he refused to ring that bell. Well, Brother Matt, they've rejected me. They've hurt my feelings. They all turned on me. They did Jesus the same way. They did Jesus the same way, and far, far worse. I've had attitudes of the poor me. Well, they've done me wrong. That's the last straw with them. I've had to go to that altar and repent. God, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Listen, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What if we had the same attitude? Because I can tell you, a lot of people who sin against you and do you wrong, they really don't even know what they're doing. They're in that flesh. They're blinded by the carnal mind. Listen, when Jesus was suspended between heaven and earth, he determined to do what God told him to do. Listen, if you're going to go through Hell Week, consider Jesus. He overcame and he refused the quit option. Look at Paul the Apostle. Paul was persecuted. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was in prison. He was shipwrecked. He was judged. He was pressed beyond measure. And the Bible says you would think at some point he would determine it was time to ring that bell. But Paul the Apostle never said, this is too much. I can't handle this. I don't know if I can do this any longer. I don't know if I can come to church anymore. I'm just so tired. My job's just wearing me down. Listen, I'm going to tell you, if you are looking for an excuse, the devil's going to give you an excuse. Listen, Paul never said, I can't take it anymore, but he eliminated the quit option. You may see no possible way out of the battle. You say, well, Brother Matt, it's not that I want to quit. Maybe you're here and you're not necessarily wanting to quit, but you see no possible way out of the battle. Let me just say this. God always has another way out. First, in Philippians 1:6, he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Brother Matt, the situation is hopeless. Perfect. You're fixing to see God move. You're about to see a miracle. You say, well, it's impossible. There's no way. It appears the devil has won. Wrong. The devil never has the final say. Can someone come to the piano? We've all heard of that story of the chess players in Europe. The story tells about a painting called Checkmate. Every year in Europe, there is a worldwide chess tournament. The greatest chess players in the world come to this tournament. The tournament is played in front of a famous painting called Checkmate. The painting goes all the way back to the 18th century. They say the painting is 60 feet by 40 feet. And the painting depicts two men playing chess. One of them is the devil. I guess he looks like a devil. I think he's got horns and everything. The devil really don't have horns. He comes as an angel of light. They're playing chess, and the devil, it appears that he has defeated this person, and he's smiling. And the person on the other side of the board, they're looking so despondent. It's over with. It's over with. And it's entitled Checkmate. Checkmate means you're surrounded. The game of chess, I've never played it, but I know a little bit about it. The whole goal is to surround the king, the other person's king, where they don't have any moves. The devil had surrounded this person's king completely where there were no moves. One day, during this tournament in Europe, a chess player stopped between breaks and he looks up at the painting. He begins to study the painting. And he screams out, "There's still one more move. There's still one more move. He has one more move." And they redid the chess pieces on the board and they seen that the man still had one more move. Let me tell you something. Although it may look like you're surrounded in front, on each sides, and in the back, just like the children of Israel were before they crossed over the Red Sea, God still has one more move. He caused the wind to come, and it blew back the water hither and thither, and they walked on dry land. You say, well, we've exhausted this resource, and we've exhausted that resource. I just don't see where there's help any longer. God always has one more move. He always has another plan. And he can create a plan where there are no plans. Somebody desperately needs to hear this today. Because you've been debating on quitting your marriage. Somebody in this house, maybe someone watching by Facebook, you're debating on quitting your marriage. The devil's a liar. Don't you dare quit. Get that plan B, C, D, E, F, G out of there. Get it out. Some of you are so weary, you're wanting to pull out of some areas. Maybe you've been working in the church. Don't do that. Ask for more areas to work in the church. Cause the devil's plans to backfire. Eliminate the quit option. Some, maybe you're thinking about giving up on your kids. How much more can a parent take? Eliminate the quit option. I think back to my situation. You all know it and can probably tell it as good as I can. She didn't give up on me. My mama didn't give up on me. And she pressed through and had other prayer warriors praying for me. Eliminate the quit option. Sometimes our miracle, we stop praying one day short of the miracle. Can we stand? You hear me? Sometimes we stop praying one day short of the miracle. We're thinking, well, obviously God's not going to answer my cry. Obviously, it's not going to happen. The devil's a liar. Whatever that area that you're debating on giving up in, you need to eliminate that quit option. If it's something that the Lord wants you to be faithful in, faithfulness is an awesome thing. Listen, I love everybody in this church, but people who are faithful to every service, oh man, whew, helps me, strengthens me. You don't know how much it strengthens me. I love everybody the same. Amen. If you just come on Sunday morning, I love you. But when people are here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and I'm telling you, it strengthens the body. Faithfulness in attendance to church, your Bible reading, your prayer life. You know what I've realized about my flesh? My flesh is so despicable. I don't know if you would describe your flesh like that, but mine is despicable, with a capital D, despicable. I've realized that if I stop praying for a couple of days, man, my old flesh, I'll pray this afternoon. I got to get to that church house. I'm going to tell you right now, I've learned I don't leave that house without praying because I know how that devil is. He's a devil. And I know how my flesh is. My flesh already don't want to pray. My flesh will come up with all kind of ideas, and I'm very crafty. My flesh, my carnal mind's very crafty. I'll say, hey, you're tired, why don't you go drink some more coffee, go to the church, pray after lunch. Is that a sin? No, but I can tell you this, I know my flesh, and it won't be long, and I'll stop praying. I'll go several days without praying. I know me. Same with reading the Word of God. You got to tell your flesh, listen, When we talk about dying to self, crucifying the flesh, when Paul the Apostle says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. Do you know what he's trying to say? He's saying, I got to die to myself. My flesh is depraved. It's terrible. It's everything about it is ungodly. The flesh is powerful, and we must understand how it operates. I just couldn't help but do this. You ever heard of that old song, Excuses? Excuses, we hear them every day. You remember that song? Well, I got the lyrics for you. I'm going to tell them about it real quick, okay? Excuses, excuses. I'm talking about church attendance. The devil's crafty. He wants you to stay home. Now listen, this ain't just a Pentecostal doctrine. The Baptists used to preach this. The Methodists used to preach this. The Assemblies of God used to preach this. But if you say that too much, people will just leave to another church and they'll go where people don't put too much pressure on them. Well, I'm going to put some pressure on you. That's my job as a pastor, to watch for your soul. That's my job as a pastor, to love you and to protect you. Listen to this good song. Excuses, excuses. You'll hear them every day. And the devil, he'll supply them if the church stay away. When people come to the Lord, the devil knows he always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. In the summer, it's too hot. In the winter, it's too cold. In the springtime, when the weather's just right, you'll find some other place to go. Well, it's up to the mountain. Well, it's up to the mountains, or down to the beach, or to visit some old friend, or to just stay home and kind of relax and hope that some of the kin folks will start dropping in. Well, the church bents are too hard, and the choir sings way too loud. Boy, you know how nervous you get when you're sitting in a big crowd. I get anxiety, you know. The doctor told you now you better watch them crowds, they'll set you back. But you go to that old ball game because it helps you just to relax. Somebody help me preach in this place. Well, a headache on Sunday morning and a backache on Sunday night. But by work time Monday morning, you're feeling quite all right. Isn't that something? Isn't that something how we get sick on Sunday? And all of a sudden on Monday, we're okay. That's the devil. Uh-huh. While one of those children has a cold, pneumonia, do you suppose? While the whole family had to stay home just to blow that poor kid's nose. Excuses, excuses. You'll hear them every day. And the devil, he'll supply them if the church stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. Well, the preacher, he's too young. I wish they'd say that about me. And maybe he's too old. The sermons, they're not hard enough. And maybe they're just too bold. His voice is too quiet-like. Sometimes he gets too loud. He needs to have more dignity, or maybe he's too proud. Well, the sermons, they're too long, or maybe they're too short. He ought to preach the word with diligent dignity instead of stomp and snort. Well, maybe this guy had it wrong. Let's skip that one. Well, one of the ladies told me the other day, well, he didn't even shake my hand. Oh, my goodness. Can I preach right there just for a second? Y'all realize if everybody showed up, that comes at least every other week, we have about 350 in this church. I cannot shake everybody's hand. If I go to that back door, some of y'all go out that door, and that door. I wish I could shake everybody's hand. I'd stay here all day. But I've actually had people get mad at me because I didn't shake their hand. I would never do that to you. I would never do that to you. Not one person in this house. Devil's a liar. I think Brother Matt avoided me today. He's mad at me. I ain't been coming. I just showed up after 3 weeks. He's avoiding me. That's a lie. Devil's a liar. Excuses, excuses, you'll hear them every day. And the devil, he'll supply them if the church will stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. And then it repeats itself. The devil, that's the devil, you know that? It's my job. If I didn't make you feel uncomfortable, you'd need to find another church. But don't find another church because I'm making you feel uncomfortable. I'm doing my job as a pastor. And I'm telling you, when I see the wolf coming, when I see people starting to, their spiritual life to begin to go down, I call them. I say, hey, what's going on? I want to meet with you. What's going on? Talk to me. How can I help you? I noticed that you've been missing. I noticed that you've been coming down the altar. I noticed you've had this look on your face like something's bothering you. Tell me. Talk to me. Devil's a devil. That's his job, to get you down and to whisper in your ear to go ring that bell. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You better war against that flesh. I want to close with this. You better war against that flesh. If you start missing church, here's what's going to happen. You miss church on one service, it'll be easier to call. Hey, text. Well, it's good if you text. Praise the Lord. Thank you for doing that. It's easier to miss the next service, or 2 weeks later, miss another service. I've been here for 22 years. Let me tell you what happens every single time. When people do that, I know they're on their way out of here. And they usually aren't finding another church. They just staying at the house, watching something on Facebook and calling it church. That's an excuse the devil wants to give you. Any area of your life that you need to change, you better change it. The devil will offer you every kind of excuse in the book to get you away from the people of God. You need to be in this church every time the doors are open. Listen, if we're having revival or prayer meeting, let's come together. We don't have much time left. We don't have time to play games. We don't have time to wear our feelings on our shoulders. Hallelujah. It's time to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I preach what you give me to preach to this beautiful crowd. Oh, God, you love these people more than they could ever know. Oh, Lord, I'm asking you, help us. Forgive us, Lord, for our despondency. Forgive us for our faithlessness. We've not been faithful in our prayer time and reading the precious Word of God that's living, that's life to us. Lord, we have not been faithful in other areas, maybe missing church or missing things that we've chosen other things above you. Oh, God, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. I'm asking you to forgive us. Forgive us, oh, God. Convict our hearts and change us. Lord, let us make that commitment at this old-fashioned altar today. Lord, that we're going to run with patience the race that's set before us. We're going to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I want everyone to come around these altars. Find a place to kneel, stand, wherever you can find a place to pray. Let's talk to the Lord today. It won't be long if you start letting up, compromising. While you're coming, hear me. If you compromise in any area that you know to be right, it won't be long and you will sell it all for a price. Compromise just works that way.